All right, let's read this just before you sit down. Can we do that? Just before you sit down?
Amen.
All right, if you'll turn over to the book of Revelation, and let's turn to the second chapter, down to the seventh verse. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." All right. You can be seated. Now, that's a good thought tonight. To him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That's good, isn't it? You know, the thing that I'd like to do is hear what the Spirit is saying. The one thing that's important in life is to hear what the Spirit is saying. We have ears to hear in the natural. We have eyes to see in the natural. Whereas Jesus on one occasion reproving the people said, "Having ears you hear not. Having eyes ye see not." That is, they had eyes to see the natural but not eyes to see the spiritual. And they had ears to hear the natural but they didn't have ears to hear the spiritual. And so then he upbraided them because of the hardness of their heart and he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." So this is what I want to do, is hear what the Spirit saith. And I recall one thing that the Spirit said in the days of Noah, in the 6th chapter, about the 12th and 13th verse, when he said to Noah, he said, "All flesh has corrupted its way before God." And he said, "The end of all flesh it's come up before me." Sometimes riding along, I look and I see a graveyard over here, you know, or whatever, and I tell my wife, I say, "Betty, there's the end of all flesh right there." You know, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, doesn't matter, talents or whatever, great men or not great men, whether they're in the upper echelon or not, that's the end of them out there. Young and old alike, that's where they all go to. And that's the end of all flesh. That's the end of all their ambitions, no matter what they do in life, how great they think they are or whatever they might think themselves to be. When they finish their course in life and finish what they're going to do, then they plant them like a seed out there with the rest of them. All of them are alike. All of them go to the same place. Very few men that's ever escaped that. That is to say, men like Enoch that was translated that he should not see death. Moses and Elijah that went away that will come back during the tribulation period. And even then, they'll have to taste of death. When we see these things, we realize that as it was with Enoch, the seventh from Adam, being typical of the church, that there's going to be a whole body of people that's going to find grace in the sight of God as it was in the days of Noah, and they're not going to have to go by the way of the grave, and they're not going to have to be planted if they can hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So then if we're the church tonight, then we've got an ear to hear, and we need to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. All right, so in the days of Noah, God said, "Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me." Said, because all of the earth is filled with violence. Everywhere I look, the earth is filled with violence. You know, I can say today, as it was in that day, that as I travel around the world, having preached around the world, I find that in every part of the world that we've been into, that it's filled with violence. It's no different from here. Every part of the world is filled with violence. And then when you look over here and you see the problems over here with Mr. Bush and Gorbachev and with Hussein and these people, you know that there's problems. You know that things is about to happen. Everything is just kind of topsy-turvy. Everything is out of balance. And nobody seems to know what to do with it. But I'm glad that God knows what to do with it. The Bible said, if the watchman doesn't trust in God, he ariseth to watch for the city, but in vain. Because the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, but the battle is the Lord's. So then, if we're going to watch as watchmen on the wall, we're going to have to stay in touch with God. If we're going to have the answer to the problem, then Christ is the answer. And if we seek an answer any other way as to lean to our own understanding and not trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we'll never have the answer. If Mr. Bush goes after it any other way, he'll never have the answer. America came about and this great world came about as to what we call the New World here. It came about because of men like Lincoln and men like Washington and people that called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. People that called upon God. How can a man guide a nation like America without knowing God? How can a man guide any people without knowing God? You know, the one thing that Solomon asked for was an understanding heart, saying, Heavenly Father, I'm but like a babe, and I need your understanding that I might be able to stand before your people and guide your people and tell your people what to do and tell them about you. For who can stand before so great a people, he said. And you know, I find myself feeling so inadequate every time that I go to preach, whether it's in America or wherever it's at. I find myself with that inadequate feeling, that feeling of insufficiency as to myself. And unless the Lord will undertake, unless the Lord will tell me, unless the Lord will direct my heart, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Because I say, Lord, who can stand before so great a people? As to being the president, as to being the senator, as to being an orator, or a teacher, whatever it might be, as to the natural, it's enough then to stand before people and know what to say. But when you stand before God's people, people that are called gods. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye shall die like men because of your lack of understanding, of knowing that you're gods and knowing your rights in God. He said, but ye are gods. Ye are gods. And who can stand before the very body of the bone and flesh of Almighty God, in that the Bible said, ye are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And who can stand before people like that as to address them? So then we know that we're inadequate for the purpose. So before we come, we talk to God. And when we come here, we are already in touch with God. We're already in tune with God. And we're already as a vessel before God, that it might not be us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us, that all the world may keep silent, whether it be you that speak or I that speak or whoever that speak, that the voice of God may come forth and tutor and teach and direct our pathway, to acknowledge him in all of our ways is to have him to direct our path. All right, so the Lord was very grieved, and he said, I'm grieved. I am sorry that I ever made man. It grieved God in his heart that he ever made man. And he said, I'll destroy man from off of the face of the earth. The human beings that I've made, it grieves me, because rather than finding the wonderful thing that I had hoped to find when I created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden to give them all things, that I find the whole earth overspread with violence because of the fall. I find man interested in everything but God's way of life. God is good. God is wonderful. God is holy. God is just. God is pure. And he said, I find man in every kind of frame of mind to the extent that the very thoughts of his heart is continually evil. The very imagination of his heart. And Paul tells us in the New Testament, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, to bring every thought into subjection. A lot of times we don't understand how straight this way is and how strict this way is and what God expects of us. See, to cast down imagination. Man is filled with vain imagination. And to lean to our own understanding is wrong. For the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Stir up your pure heart, which is the mind of Christ on the inside. And then the Bible said to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is to say, to meditate in his laws day and night, to keep these words before your eyes, keep these words as to the hearing of the ear, and keep these words within your heart. Always keep them there, building your faith in God and strengthening your faith in God and searching out the Word of God to know the way of God and to know the mind of God. Like Mr. Bush recently said, I wished I knew the mind of God. I wished I knew how to get in touch with God to the extent that God would tell me what to do. See, and that's where the secret is. If we have God to lead us, if we have God to guide us, then we'll have peace. And the Bible said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. For if you trust in the Lord, then the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And today, as it was in the days of Noah, I can stand before the people as I travel around the world and say that violence has filled all of the earth. And the and all flesh has corrupted its way before God. The Bible said, and God looked down to see who was good, and there was none good, no, not one. Saying that all had gone astray and every man had turned to his own way, God having laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, having been bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of that peace that we're searching for was laid upon him. To follow the path of peace is to find the Lord Jesus. And that he alone is that hope of glory. And that he alone was made heir to the glory of God. Then it is Christ within me that is the hope of that glory. And that no one else was ever made heir to it except the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as under seeds of many, but as under seeds of one. Even thy seed. Speaking to Abraham as to the promised son. So then all of the world is corrupt today. So what is God saying as he looks down? As it was even when he spoke to Daniel in that day, he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar when he said, and by a decree of the watcher, the tree shall be cut down. And because in that day in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had become so great like America today and like a great tree, Daniel said, O king, thy greatness has reached up to heaven and thy branches has went out over all the earth. And he said, so great is thy kingdom that thou art a Lord of kings, thou a great, mighty king. He said, but by the degree of the watcher, even the Holy One, even God, he said, the tree must be hewn down and the branches must be cut off and the leaves blown away and all of the fruit must be scattered until you learn that God rules in the kingdom. You know, and it came to pass about 12 months later that Nebuchadnezzar, having not listened to Daniel, was walking through his palace. See, Daniel said, O king, said, hearken unto my counsel. He said that it might prove to be the lengthening of thy tranquility. And he said, as he spoke to the king, turn away from sin and turn to righteousness. But the king's heart was lifted up. See, today the problem with America, with all of the education, with all of the college degrees, with all of these things, man has got lifted up. With all of his wealth, the millionaires, with all of the frocks, with all of the greatness of America, the things, the inventions, whatever it might be, man has got lifted up and he's left God out of his program. And because he's left God out of his program, then that means that the tree must be cut down. The tree must be cut down because he won't listen to God. Even the evangelists of today, even the preachers of today are going corrupt. Have you noticed that? They're turning corrupt. Great and mighty preachers, men that God lifted up, men that one time was great, that had great ministries, great things. God gave them a great thing, but they got lifted up, and because of that, God had to cut their tree down. See, and the shame and disgrace was brought to them, and that reproached the ministry, and that reproached the people of God. Satan did that. Satan did that because the Bible speaks of it in the last day. Even some of them that have knowledge shall fall to purge them just before the coming of the Lord to make them white. But them that know their God in the last days, the Bible said they shall do great and mighty exploits. All right, so then we can see that America is lifted up. She's great in knowledge. And she doesn't want you to reprove her. And she doesn't want you to tell her anything other than to exalt her the more and magnify her the more and tell her that God loves her in spite of all of her evil and all of her wrong. But folks, the Bible said it repented God that he had even made man when he saw this awful thing. In having given Jesus that he might save mankind and that he might take mankind away from the gullible desires of this life and take man away from the lust and the passions and the pride of life and the pride of the eye and all these things, given Jesus for that purpose, man still is corrupt. Man is still doing the evil things that he one time done. He hasn't turned away from those things. He's still going on after those things, not heeding the warning. Though Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, he did not heed the warning because he didn't want that warning. See, the problem with the world today is they don't want that warning. They don't want you to tell them what's right and what's wrong. They don't want to know about that. They want you to tell them about the love of God, and they want you to tell them about the prosperities of God, and they want you to tell them about the things of God, but they don't want you to tell them about what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible said, and this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light is referred to as godly understanding. Darkness is referred to as the satanic ignorance that man has gotten himself into. And the problem with the world today is that light has come, understanding has come, and now the true light is shining, and men know better than to do what they're doing. But they're still trying to mix darkness with light, and you can't mix darkness with light. See, you cannot do the evil things of life and have God. I know in the day we're living in, you know, preachers are just smoothing it over. But you're learning and I'm learning that those preachers that smooths it over and those preachers that tell you that you can do all these things and go on with the blessings of God, it's not long before God reveals their corruption. And you find out that they were corrupt all the time. And that the reason that they told you this is because they were in the same condition as all of the rest of the world. They were abiding in corruption, that all flesh is corrupted its way before God. See, God is looking to a people that will turn away from the things of the world. The righteousness of Jesus was not given to cover up our iniquity. It was not given to save us if we're going to continue in sin. It was given in our behalf that we're willing to forsake sin and forsake corruption and turn to the things of God, to get away from the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and to try to please God and do the things that's right in His sight. He said, if you'll keep my statutes, you keep my commandments, you do that which is right in my sight, I will bring upon you none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. Oh, that is, I will not make allowance for these things to come upon you. So then God has given us righteousness. God has given us grace. But the grace was to help us while we are as of yet little babes, while we are yet without strength. In our heart we desire to do good and we want to do right. And we're willing to do good and we're willing to do right when we're born of His Spirit. But we stumble and we stagger and we need a helping hand. And when we do our very best, we still stumble and stagger. But folks, when we're born of God and when we're doing our very best, you know, like a mother watches over a little babe, the little babe may stumble, but someone will reach down and take its hand. The mother will say, that's all right. And if the little baby gets its body in a mess, the mother will just clean it up. See, because she loved it. Her love supersedes all of the problems of the little child until it grows up. But then when that child grows up into manhood, whether man or woman, after a while, mother can't do anything and dad can't do anything. And then when the law comes down upon them, a wrong comes down upon them, or they start answering as to the judgments of their wrong, nobody can help them, and they find themselves like an animal pinned up in a cage or going to the electric chair or out here in a wreck somewhere, or some kind of disease eating them up, laying over here in the hospital, over in a mental institution, or in poverty, or whatever it might be. See, because mother and daddy can't do anything about it. And that's the way it is with God. We drift away from God. And the Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. My hand is not short that it cannot reach thee. My ear is not dull that it cannot hear thee. But thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. For the Bible said that God cannot look upon iniquity. But when we do the very best we can, and then we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, then the righteousness of God is upon us. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is in our behalf, and it doesn't matter how many times we stumble, it doesn't matter how many mistakes we make, God never counts it to us as sin. I know a lot of times, you know, I say things, and some people draw upon me because they don't know. A lot of people feel like they're great Bible scholars and they know a lot about the Bible, and they'll just get up and walk out on you when they don't hardly know anything. They're just like little old babes. But nevertheless, we say these things anyway because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So we're here to speak God's word. See, the Bible says, speaking God's word now, the Bible says he that is born of God cannot sin. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I really believe that if we go on with God and we do such and such and such, that we will not sin. The Bible didn't say that. That wasn't what the Bible said. And if I preach that to you, then I'm not preaching the word. That proves I wouldn't be of God. It didn't say that at all. It said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed, even Christ, the word of faith, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. It didn't say he may not sin. It said he cannot sin because he is born of God. Like a brother came to me not too long ago, just a young brother. He meant well. He said, but the Bible said, if you say that you have no sin, thus and thus and thus, don't you know? You know, that is, if you say that you have no sins, this minister here in the Bible, he said that you're in trouble. I said, I know that. I said, Isn't it surprising to know that the same minister that said that was the same one that went over a little farther and said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, so it's wonderful to know that if you're born of God, that you cannot sin. See, if you are the predestinated of God, the Bible said this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. The Lamb having been slain in the mind of God before the world ever was. And this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. And it was brought to light at Calvary at the rent veil when this thing came forth. That is to say, wrought in God before the world ever was, preached down through the church ages, and comprehended here in the end time by the church. It's so wonderful to know that as it was said of Paul when he preached to them people, all of them that were before of old ordained unto eternal life as the elect, the Bible said they believed and the rest of them did not believe. So then the Bible said, ye are the elect of God according to foreknowledge. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Power, might, Satan can't do it. See, you've got all power over the devil. Remember that now. You've got all power over the devil. The Bible said, greater is he that is within you, Christ the hope of glory, than he that is in the world, Satan the prince of this world. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And the Bible said, behold, I give unto you all power over the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. As to the inner man, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, as to your inner man, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of the change, or as to the day of the redemption of the body. So then we realize that we are Satan's master. Isn't that something? We're bone of the bone of Jesus. We're flesh of the flesh of Jesus. We are his very body as to the church. And that body triumphed over Satan. And the Bible said he made a show of principalities open. Openly he made a show of principalities. Spoiling principalities are the powers of the air and the great powers of Lucifer. And he gave us power over all the powers of the enemy. And the Bible said, for this reason the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When he came at Calvary, he destroyed the works of the devil. And not only did he destroy the works of the devil, but he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because of what he did, Revelation 12 records it as to the battle in the heavenlies. And out Lucifer went, and up went the man child. And the Bible said to you and I that we're no longer in the flesh, for he's chosen us out of the flesh and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things, saying to you and I, rejoice forevermore, ye that are sitting in heavenly places, or ye that are in heaven. You love the Lord? And he said that he hath translated us into his marvelous kingdom. One thing we have to remember, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been here. And the kingdom of God has been preached. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom. It's been all down through the ages. See, Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled. And then he bravely, boldly, and wonderfully came. And there at Calvary lifted up his hands to heaven and said, Father, it is finished, as he bowed his head. Or that is, I have fulfilled every jot and I have fulfilled every tittle. I therefore fold up the law and I lay the law away. Because it is the sting of, it is sin that is the sting of death, and it is the law by which sin gets its strength. And when he folded up the law and he laid it away, having fulfilled every jot and tittle, that means that the powers of sin can't hurt us anymore. That means that sin doesn't have any strength anymore. And about 500 years before the coming of the Messiah, when the angel appeared to Daniel, he told him, said, and Messiah will come and he will make an end of sin. And 483 years later, Messiah come and he died for the sake of the people. The Bible said to be cut off, not for himself, but for the people. And he made an end of sin. When he came 483 years later, he made an end of sin. And today he has destroyed the power of the devil. He has destroyed the works of the devil. He has destroyed sin. And he hath given us power over all the powers of the enemy. And today you're the glorious, wonderful, most beautiful thing that is in his sight, the apple of his eye. You are his glorious bride, without spot, without blemish. And the devil cannot touch you. You keep yourself by the Holy Spirit, and you are pure and perfect in his sight. How do you believe that the church is perfect? Somebody said, Brother Pike, we're waiting for the church to get perfect. I agree that the ministry is here for the perfecting of the saint. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. That is, we're preaching the word to you that you might learn the details of this wonderful perfection that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Where will we find that? For the Bible said, God hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified. We got any sanctified folks? Does that mean you believe you're perfect? Oh, somebody said, nobody's perfect. The Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. The end of that man is peace. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. Isn't that right? And the Bible says that God hath made perfect forever them that are sanctified. Is there any sanctified folks under the tent tonight? For he hath justified by faith. He has sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hath made perfect or perfected forever them that are sanctified. If I've got any sanctified folks, raise your hand. All right, let's give him a hand, sanctified folks. Hallelujah. All right. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? We're talking about perfecting the church. It's time for the church to go out. This tent here has great significance being here in King's Mountain. If I had a time tonight and you could be spiritual, Paul said, I would that you be spiritual, and we could go into the revelation of why this tent is here and why these things are happening like it is. See, it's time for the church to go out, and the church can't go out until it's perfect. Now, it's been perfect all the time. It was perfect in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. For he's coming back after church is perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Somebody would say, well, that's what the preacher's got to do. He's got to get us to where we're without the blemish. That is, if I can stop you from chewing, if I can stop you from puffing on a weed, if I can stop you from whatever it might be, then I will make you perfect. You know better than that. If Jesus Christ's blood did not perfect you, there ain't a man living that can perfect you, and all the ministry put together can't do you no good. If the blood of Jesus Christ didn't make you perfect, folks, you'll never be perfect. For he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ministry is getting you ready for the translation of what you call the rapture. But the way that they're doing is that they are revealing as they preach to you from childhood to grow up into the full measure, the full stature, to go into the full reward, that you might believe, to perfect your faith, that you might be ready. You know, it's like that train blowing out there. That old thing has to do with a serpent. Typically, as it goes through the land, it used to be a huff and a puff, remember? And the whole earth would shake as it went through. But it doesn't frighten anybody anymore. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then we know that God has overthrown the evil one. And tonight, when I look at you, I don't know you after the flesh. For the Bible said not to know any man after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh, but from henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. For we know him now after the Spirit. And you that are born to the Spirit, then the Bible said you are spirit. That that's born of the Spirit is spirit. That that's born to the flesh is flesh. That that's born again is of the Spirit, of the second man Adam. That is of the regeneration. And you are in a new generation. So then today the church is getting perfect. Now somebody said, well, what about all these people that are believers? There are a lot of people that believe, but the Bible said if you believe, you do well. The devils believe also. I said devils believe also. How do you know devils believe also? There's all kind of religion. There's all kind of churches. The devils believe also. They're just as religious as Cain was. But that doesn't have anything to do with faith. Like here not too long ago, a little article was published in the paper, and it stated that all face of the earth was coming together. And it had the Muslims, and it had the Catholics, and it had the Protestants, and it had all kind of religions. It named them and said, all these faces are coming together. I said, no. I said, that can't be. I said, that'll never be. There'll never be a day when all faiths shall come together, because there's no such thing as all faiths. The Bible said there's one faith, just one faith. That's all. There's no such thing as all faith. There's just one faith, and that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. That's the only faith there is. Just one faith.
And that faith cometh by the hearing of God, God's word. So then, God's word brings you faith. And that faith is by his word. And that faith translates you into the marvelous kingdom of God. I told this vision that I had the other night. We just had a vision out in Nevada. We had a crusade out in Nevada, and we just had a vision there of the translation. And there, as the translation was taking place, I saw things change. I saw myself translate. I saw my wife translate. I saw others translate. It was just a few of them. And I saw, as we began to lift from the earth, as Jesus, when he was caught away, being translated, he changed. He just vanished out of sight. While I was here, I knew that this also had to do with the change. And the translation took place again while I was here in a vision. But this time it did not take place as a visual thing. In the one out in Nevada, it took place as a visual thing. But here, it did not take place as a visual thing. It took place altogether different. It took place as an inter-translation as to the spiritual being on the inside. The law and the prophets fulfilled. Now the kingdom of God is preached. Now the kingdom of God is at hand. Man believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the inner man was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So I looked, and as we dismissed the service, I saw that I, along with others, were children of God. And we were children of God, and I looked around, and there were people in the upper echelon, people dressed in suits, people that were so nice and refined and cultured. I looked at them, but they were beasts. They were beasts. See, without God, ye are beasts. Ye are beasts. Now, don't get offended, but ye are beasts. See, if ye are not children of God, you're a beast. And I saw all these people were beasts. And they were just mumbling and going on, and you couldn't understand nothing that they were saying. And I said, Lord, what in the world is this? That is, my heart was asking, oh God, what is this? And he spoke to me and said, these are beasts. The differentiating has come. The separation has come. Though all of you look alike as far as visibility. As to the visual thing, all of you look alike. But the thing is, these are beasts, and you are the lovely children of Almighty God. Isn't that something? Notice what the Bible said. And the Bible says that these are upon their belly, and the serpent shall go upon his belly, and dust shall he eat all the days of his life. Have you ever noticed that man that doesn't serve God is upon his belly? For the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly and for his mouth, because his belly craves it. And did you know that John, laying the axe to the root of the tree, cut that family tree of the first man, Adam, down all the way back to Calvary, or the garden as to the fall, and that Jesus came as the second man, Adam, as to that tree of life, and started a new generation by the washing of the regeneration of the Word of God? And he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? See, bring forth fruits or meat. That's worthy of repentance, or that's meet for repentance. Don't say to yourselves that we have Abraham as to our father, or don't say that God is your father. He said, do something as to present the fruits of the Spirit, to show that Christ is on the inside of yourself. And prove these things, the writers of the New Testament said, lest ye be reprobates. For if you do these things as to enumerate, as to joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, serving God in holiness and righteousness, as it was said through John, all the days of our life, God has ordained that we should do this. Then, if you do these things, ye shall never fall, because you've proven that you are the elect of God. All right. So then there is a generation of vipers that is the serpent seed. And that seed of the serpent is in the earth. It is in the earth. It's called the generation of vipers. All their interest is in that side of life as to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the gullible desires of the things of passions and of wealth and of all the frolics of life. And that's all they care about. They've even gone so far that they have substituted, as in the church, they have substituted the things of God with the frolics of the world as to looking for positions in life and careers in life. And they're turning their children into showmanship. And they're turning their children into sportsmen. And they're going after the things of the world. And they've placed or replaced the Word of God and spiritual things as to the entertainments of God in the church with the sports of life. And now they're so bloodthirsty that they can't even enjoy the sports anymore unless somebody breaks their collarbone or breaks their neck or somebody out of the races have a wreck. It's not even interested anymore. Because as it was in the early days when they did this, it finally got around to that bloodthirsty crowd. You know, when they finally begin to bring in the gladiators to beat the brains out and get to that thing that really called for the blood. You know, when they'd say thumbs down and they'd beat each other's brains out. So then we see that all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and the wild, vain imagination of man is running loose, and he hasn't cast down that imagination. He hasn't gotten the love of the world out of him. The Bible says the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. He hasn't got the love of the world out of him. He still loved the world and the things of the world when God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. The world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so then you can see that even the church world is not ready for the translation. And that even the church world is going hard after the things of the world and not after God. And they are being indoctrinated with things that where they try to mix darkness with light. I'm going to try to hurry along here, not take too long. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I didn't want to take too long tonight because I wanted to pray for the sick tonight. But do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? You remember the king who was the head of gold? And the inferior kingdoms that followed as to silver, as to the Medo-Persians, and as to coming on down as to Alexander the Great, and then down to the Iron Kingdom, and finally it got down to the 10 toes where it said that iron and clay would not mix. And today, the day that we're living in, we're seeing that of the 10 toes. And we're seeing that of Russia over there, that's been an atheistic country. We were over there not too long ago in Russia, and there we were putting out the gospel. My wife and I were in jeopardy as we prayed to God that God would break down that iron curtain just before all this thing happened with Mr. Bush and him coming together. And God bless. But still, see, there is a mixture of iron and clay, and it will not mix. Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev will not mix. We can say what we want to about peace, and we've made a lot of predictions that come to pass. A lot of things about Russia and America has come to pass, and even they're coming together, it has come to pass. And the very things that would happen has come to pass as we've said it would. But the thing is, Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev won't stay together. There'll be a dissension, and there'll be something that will break between Israel and Mr. Gorbachev and between Mr. Bush and Israel. It all had to come to pass. We spoke of these things, and it's come to pass exactly. So far, it's falling right in line. As a matter of fact, somebody sat in my little trailer home last night and told me that already, since we've made the statement, that there's a dissension that has arisen between Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Bush to the extent that Mr. Gorbachev has said war is disallowed. War is disallowed. Already, they're crossed up right there. See, and the iron and the clay isn't going to mix. And we could take a lot of time tonight to elaborate on that, but we're not going to do it. I'm using that as a passing remark because we don't have time to get into those things. All right, but we do know that the end time is here. And it was in the days of these kingdoms, as to the iron and the clay, that there was a little stone hewed out of the mountain. Remember, Israel is a stony country. We've been there about 7 times. If you've ever been there, you know that it's filled with stones, and they build out of stone. And they're likened unto that stone nation that is to come up. And Revelation 19 speaks of the Lord Jesus coming back as that stone that was hewed out of the mountain as to the head of Israel. Coming back as the natural, because he's come back to the church as Christ, the head of the church. And he's living within your heart. And he'll return to them with the nails in his hands. So then that means that that little stone that was hewed out of the mountain will come. And Israel that's been rejected, as to the Jews, been rejected, blinded apart until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. All of a sudden that great nation of little people will rise up and rule and dominate the entire world to bring in that 1,000 years restoration as to the millennium. But even that kingdom, there is another that will come even beyond the stone. But this kingdom will convert over. And the Bible said in the days of the iron and the clay, God will bring forth a kingdom, and he will set up a kingdom, and that kingdom shall remain forever and forever. It will never be changed. It will never be overthrown. Today I went through some of these things with my wife and was talking about them. Sometimes I go through these things with the brethren to hear. As I preach to you, I have to hurry and run kind of like a racehorse just to get over a few little old scattered remarks because we're so limited as to time. People spend the greatest part of their life in the intellect and in the natural things and very little time as to develop their understanding in the spiritual things of God. But we who follow the Spirit, we who understand the Spirit, we who give our lives to the Spirit, we're like the physicians that give themselves as to human anatomy. And we understand the moving of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and what God is doing in the Spirit. And that's why Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But he said, seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot do that. Just desire the sincere milk of the Word. But folks, here we are down at the end time. And that means the church has got to understand that God hath perfected them and that this is the hour of it. And you know, in that hour, there will be a lot of people that will make believe. Because the Bible speaks of the five foolish virgins that don't have any oil. And they were stirred at that midnight cry. But the five wives that did have oil was also stirred at that midnight cry. So the religious people all over the world are being stirred. Even now when we preach around the world, people are stirred everywhere, religiously stirred, but they don't have the infilling of the Spirit. The Bible said, if you have not a Spirit, you're none of mine. See, there's but one Spirit, and they're stirred, and they are awakening, and they're making believe as to the righteousness of God because they realize what's taking place. But it won't work. But you that have the Spirit of God, you that are truly born again, you that are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, you that are trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, you that are doing this, you are receiving the Spirit of God, and this Spirit is coming into your heart, and God is making known to you the revelation of the Son of God, and He is translating you into the marvelous kingdom of God, and those beasts are left. Those others are a beast. They are left. These things that do not have to do with God, these people that do not have to do with God, they are beasts. And they are left. Altogether, they are left. You understand what I'm saying? I saw those people, and they were beasts. They were beasts. But you're not beasts. You that love the Lord are not beasts. You're not beasts. Remember in that garden, the nearest thing to Adam was a beast. You're not beasts. You are children of God. You are the very body and bone and flesh as the memberships of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. All right, so the end of all flesh is come up before God. The whole earth is overspread with violence. And here we are in the end time, which means that something is about to take place. This tent being set here, there's something unusual about this tent. This tent is not like other tents as a rule. This tent, you notice the five-fold tent, a five-fold ministry type, that is, it's five poles. But if you'll notice, this tent does not have stitching in it. This tent is a sealed tent. Most all tents are stitched, but not this tent. This tent doesn't have stitching in it. It's sealed. It was sealed. The Bible speaks of the sealing. See, the sealing in. This tent is sealed. And being here in Kings Mountain, I wish we just had time to detail it and go into it explicitly to let you know just what's happening in the little place of Kings Mountain. God doing everything His way. He does things that way. He chose Kings Mountain for that reason. And I'm happy to be here and be a part of it too. I think it's so wonderful just to be privileged to be here and be a part of it. I love the people of the Carolinas anyway because they're some of the greatest people in the world in the Carolinas. I've preached in many places in the Carolinas. And if you remember when the great revival broke out many years ago, it was here in the Carolinas. Remember that? The preachers preached on the stumps where trees had been cut down. The old wagon trains came through. And there the great revival broke out and spread across the nation. And when God goes to do something, a lot of times it's in the Carolinas that He does it. He starts moving because He's got some people in the Carolinas. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, like I said, I like the sign you got in Kings Mountain that says Jesus is Lord of Kings Mountain. All right, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? And the Bible said, while Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. A lot of times when I'm preaching, I can feel faith rise up and I can feel the Holy Ghost fall upon the people. And I feel the Holy Ghost beginning to move right now. I can tell He's beginning to fall upon the people because I can feel faith begin to go up. And the more that we believe, the more He will fall. The more we let our spirits out, the more that we believe, the more the Holy Ghost will begin to move among the people. I want you to know tonight that the end of all flesh is come up before God. As sure as you live in this world, the end of all flesh is come up before God. Why is that? because all flesh across the world, everywhere I go, all flesh has corrupted its way before God. Even the little girls, even the little boys, they're becoming whoremongers, prostitutes. They're becoming dope addicts. I'm talking about little bitty girls. Over in India, I read the papers of India as we were having our crusade in India, where the Lord blessed us with thousands upon thousands of people that turned out to our meeting. And there, as I read the papers, and also in London, as I read it, as I went through there, and there I found out that on the streets of India, the little bitty girls were being ravished, and they were roaming the streets, and the people were all torn up. The papers carried it that they didn't know what to do with their little bitty girls roaming the streets and becoming prostitutes. And down in South America and places like that, and you know, we think about that as to them being sold down there, their little bodies, but we don't think about America. And it's happening in America. In America, it's happening. It's horrible to think that this is taking place, but this happens among beasts. These are beasts. And the Bible said some of them brood beasts made to be taken and burned. So folks, tonight, I'm speaking to you as unto the children of God. The church is getting ready to go out. We being here at this time in Kings Mountain, and this tent being here has to do with this very thing. Let's just say this right hurriedly, and we'll go on to praying for the sick or giving altar call. I said last night, and I don't have time to elaborate on these things, but there are places where we have preached a little of this or that and taught some things, and it is on tape. There's hundreds of, a thousand or 2,000, I don't know how many tapes there is, where we preached in different places, preached different things, and they've got it. It goes on television, on radio, on film, whatever. But remember this. The Bible says that God worked in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested from all of his works. And then Peter says a day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is a day. And we that are Bible scholars and you that love the Lord know for sure that we are now going into the last decade, and that a decade is 10 years, and a century is 100 years, and a millennium is 1,000 years. And we're going into the last decade as to the last 10 years of this century, of this 100 years, which is the last century of 1,000 years, which means the end of another millennium. And we are now approaching, with 9 years left as to coming to 91, 9 years left, we are now approaching unto this coming of the seventh millennium. 6,000 years. And now we're coming to the seventh millennium. Four unto Calvary and two on this side of Calvary, and we're about to end this second one on this side of Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we can say a lot here. Remember the Gentile church? Remember, it got started way back there about 500 years before the coming of the Lord, when the crown as to Judah fell down into Babylon, and when the 10 tribes were dispersed. We have it on tape where we teach us the dates of these things. But remember, we are now in the end time. Calendar-wise, all the time is used up. See, because if we are entering into or ending this last decade, that means that 7 years of this 10, as from 90 over to the end of this decade, has to be the tribulation period. Are you listening? Now, somebody said, are you saying, Brother Pike, that the tribulation is fixing to come in? Are you saying then that during this decade, I'm only trying to bring something to your mind? And that is, if God runs according to the types and the shadows, and God runs according to system and according to time, then that means that if we look at it calendar-wise, then that means that the time is about used up. And that means that if we're moving into 91, that we only have 9 years left of this decade. And that means that 7 of it, should it be according to the calendar, would be the tribulation period. That wouldn't leave but 2 years. Now, if we look at it like this, if you remember, history shows that when Jesus went up to Jerusalem, there at the age of 9, as it is recorded, when it's supposed to be 12, it's in the Bar Mitzvah, that the record shows, historically speaking, that 3 years is off. There's definitely 3 years off. And the Bible also speaks of Lucifer or Satan, the Antichrist, changing the times and the seasons, which Lucifer has done as to Julius Caesar and the others, changing the calendars. There's so many different kinds of calendars, even as to the prophetical calendar. And changing it as to leap year and all these other things that's added as the days added and taken away. We don't know just exactly where we're at as to the day nor the hour. But he said that we were hypocrites if we couldn't discern the signs of the time. And said we that love the Lord would know when it was nigh, even at the door. That's about as close as it can get. When somebody knocks and you step to the door, they just turn the knob, as we say, when you say come in. We know when it's nigh, even at the door. And when you see all these things come to pass, of the earthquakes that we're seeing, the eating and drinking that we're seeing, the lasciviousness and all this marriage and remarriage and adultery, he said that would be the end of the world. See, that would be the end of the world. So then they're dealing with Israel right now. I made the statement that over here in the Near East, when this thing happened, I said, you'll see them. They'll come into that great superpower. They'll make a union. They'll boycott when they come into this one army. I said, then they'll be in shape as to when the command is gone. I'll give forth to go forth. Then they'll go in around Jerusalem, come past Jerusalem, as to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel, where it speaks of the boycott against Israel, the abomination that maketh desolate. For Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. I said, and when they come to this with this Hussein thing, they're going to turn your hearts toward Israel. I said, and they're going to turn against Israel, because this whole thing is for the whole world to turn against Israel. I said, and the Bible said in that day, Israel would break that covenant in the middle of Daniel's last week for the overspreading of abomination of desolation, as to saying, and tidings out of the east shall trouble him. That is when the Antichrist feels like he's confiscated and got control of everything. Israel will not go along with him. And did you notice that out of all the boycotting of the nations, that when all of them got together, the one little nation that was left out was Israel? Did you notice they just said, Israel, you sit over here and you be quiet. And yet the Bible said Israel is the apple of God's eye, and they that touch Israel touches the apple of my eye. But did you notice that all of them got together? Even America got together with Mr. Gorbachev and whatever. But Israel was left out. See, if the thing had been of God, Israel would have been included. But it showed that it wasn't of God. And I made the statement that Mr. Bush has stepped right into a trap. And he's going to be sorry. It's going to be problems. And sure enough, he's found out he's right in a trap. He's like Custer, when Custer stepped right in the middle of that trap, when they led him right in the midst of all of those Indians to the massacre. See, he's right there. All the nations are surrounded. Our boys, our armies, at any time could pounce on them. And the Arabs are in favor. Arabs are fine people. We preach to them. We passed out thousands of pieces of literature to them. A lot of them are Christians. God, no respect to person as to the Jew or whatever. But speaking, naturally speaking, as to a natural nation. See, our nation of people are surrounded. At any time, the end could come. And all of a sudden, the indignation is against Israel. Not too long ago, the paper stated that the people, all of the armies, was finding fault with Israel because of the slaying of those people over there in Israel. Now, somebody said, well, do you think Israel's without fault, Brother Pike? Paul told him, said, because of your rebellion, he said, the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost, speaking of them that killed the prophets and killed the wise men. But it doesn't change the fact that they're blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, God will move the veil from their eyes, make them Jacob to pass through the fire, bring them through that tribulation period, and then bring them out and make them the head of the nation. Any way you want to look at it, that's the way it comes out. See, so everything is just set for the end time. Calendar-wise, everything is at the end. And Mr. Bush's administration expires right in the middle of what would be the tribulation period if he should go into another part of his administration. So then we know that things are happening. Can't tell exactly where it's at unless you're really walking with God. But I say that just to give you something to kind of chew on or something to think on. It's that close. It's at an end. See, let's say it like this. If the millennium is to come, if that 1,000 years is to come, as to the restoration of all things, do you believe that it will bypass this coming millennium and that God will let the world go on another 1,000 years? Maybe there are some dates off, some time off. Maybe it'll go over into that 1,000 year sum. But do you believe that he'll work according to system? He always has. He always has. Or is he going to wait another 1,000 years before he catches the church away? If he did wait another 1,000 years, naturally speaking, typically speaking, symbolically speaking, he would throw everything out of kilter, because the next millennium that comes in would be the eighth. And eighth always has to do with circumcision, which means the new Jerusalem and the new earth would come in. So that would throw everything out of balance right there. So think on that just a little bit, because it means that if what I'm saying is true, folks, something is on the verge of taking place. We're right down at the end of the world, and I would love to be more explicit in that, but we can't. We can't. I just wish I could, but we can't, because it's growing late tonight, and already you've been a good audience. You've listened real good, and I've helped you for a long time already. Let's everybody stand together. The end of all flesh has come up before me. For all flesh hath corrupted its way before God. And the whole earth is overspread with violence. And so it was said, he that doth have the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Let him hear what the Spirit saith. Can you hear what the Spirit saith? The Bible said concerning the ministry, shall not be him that speaketh, but the heavenly Father speaking from within him. In that ye are the temples of God, and God dwelling on the inside of you. Let all the world keep silent as God speaks. Let every man be a liar, and let God be true. That is to say, this word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And tonight, we're here for none other reason than to encourage you in God and to speak God's word. It's my privilege to be here. It's a privilege to see you people come out. And you've been very good listeners. You've been very good people. You have paid attention, I hope, to leave this place and leave a blessing upon it. The Bible said, in whatsoever city you go, whether they receive you, leave a blessing upon that place. If they receive you not, shake the dust from your feet as a witness and a testimony against them. And it'll be more tolerable in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. So we're expecting to leave a blessing here. We have people to come and go during the meeting. Some come in, some go out. Not very many. Usually don't have very many. I've seen a number of people go in and out doing the services since we've been here. But I know some are pressed with necessity, and the restroom's outside. They have to go out. They have to take little ones. And then some, of course, they don't really have any interest in God. They didn't come here to find God. They didn't come here to try to learn anything about God. They come here out of curiosity to see who was preaching, what was going on, to see if they liked it or didn't like it. But you know, I've said this a lot of times. It might be well if you considered even here. See, if I come to a service and the minister is ministering the Word of God, now, if I say, well, I'm going to listen and see what I think about it. I'm going to listen, I'm going to make comparison to see if this fits what I believe. I'm in error to start with. I'm all out of kilt to start with. See, if I'm going to judge the minister and judge what he preaches and everything that's said by what I believe, what I'm convicted in, what I know, I might as well go on home, because it's for sure that I'm not going to learn anything else. I'm not going to learn anything. If I'm just going to judge him according to what I think and what I know, I'm not going to learn anything else. That's like a young intern that goes into a school, and here is a man, maybe this man has the understanding of medicine or an MD, whatever it might be, and the young intern says, I'm going to see if he does it the way I want it done, or the way I think about it, or the way I like it. See, he isn't ever going to learn anything else. And that's the problem with people today. See, they are so set in their ways that they never learn anything. But the best way to do, the Bible said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. That is your own opinion. Listen. Listen. Listen to what's being said. Listen to what the man says. Listen to what God says. Listen to what the Bible tells us. And then put it all together and see if it fits the Bible, not what you think, or what you feel, or how you think it ought to be. But see if it fits the Word of God. Now, if you can't get a hold of it, don't try to crowd it in and wreck your faith and make faith shipwreck. If you can't receive it, if you can't get a hold of it, just don't be critical. Don't throw it away. You know, if you have a ham of meat, maybe you just had a full meal and you're not hungry, but you'll get hungry again. Lay the ham up somewhere, or put the pork chops over you somewhere, the steak somewhere. After a while, you're going to get another hunger pain and you're going to want something to eat. See, find out what's going on. Listen. The Bible said a foolish man will give an answer before he hears, before he understands. Take it all, put it all together, listen to it, and find out what it is, and then you can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature, and if I listen, I'll learn it. If he listens to me, if I know something he doesn't know, then he'll learn it. The Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They'll send their children. You'll get up early in the morning, make your children get out of bed, and send them all year long, practically, over to some teacher that you don't even know anything about, really. You don't know what they're teaching, really. Somebody said, well, I know because I've been through school. School has changed so much since you've been through it that you wouldn't even hardly be acquainted with the books anymore. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the same way it is in religion. That's been a tight. People are growing on in the things of God. They're growing up in the things of God. They're changing. They're going on to that full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then, folks, you get them up and you send them out and you want them to learn. Sometimes you'll paddle those little ones. If they don't learn, why, you just get right on their case. And if they don't pay attention, you get right on their case. But what about us? Aren't we supposed to be the example? Are you listening? Am I listening? Am I paying attention? Am I growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Am I looking forward to my diplomacy? Am I going to graduate in my season? What am I doing? From glory to glory, I'm supposed to graduate under this wonderful, wonderful glad tidings of great joy to the new things of God. For God said, I'll do a new thing every day. My mercy is due. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing this little chorus.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle.
Can you sing that with me?
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Sing that with me again now.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. For they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk to wait.
You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Can you sing these with me? While we're singing these little choruses, we're going to open the altar to you and give you a chance to come to the altar tonight. I know you don't have to come to the altar. The altar is our heart. I know that. But nevertheless, a lot of times as to be an example to others and as to fellowship and to show our strength as to them that are surrounding us. Maybe it's somebody that lives in the community, somebody that's come from afar. You know, when you get around the altar, sometimes you're being an example, you're being a light to them to worship God, and they see Christ in your life. And it makes a lot of difference. Let's sing I Love Him, can we?
I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing that again now.
I love Him.
Can you come tonight?
I love Him.
The Bible said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Can you just step out for Christ tonight? The Bible said the king's matter requires haste. Can you be one of those that's following the king and step right out tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to follow Christ Jesus. I'm going to follow Christ Jesus. I'm going to be numbered with the saints. We sing that song, when the saints go marching in. I'd like to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Can you sing that with me once again now?
I love Him.
I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing it like this now. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah.
The world seems cold, and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you.
Can you sing that with us?
When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to bear all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you.
Sing it again.
Someone to care. There is someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. For he'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. I've got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Got old-time religion. And it's good enough. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time religion. 'Cause,
sing it with me now.
It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough. Better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time time religion. Better get the old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. So give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. And it's singing with me. So give me that old. Can you come to the altar tonight? Let's everybody just come to the altar, can you? Come on to the altar, everybody, tonight. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let's everybody just come to the altar tonight and worship the Lord.
Give me that
old time religion. Come on, foe. Come on, foe.
Time religion.
Or it's good enough. Can you just step out and come right on with us?
Old
time religion. Give me that old time. Sing it with me now. Time religion, cause it's good enough. Give me that old. Let's leave a blessing on King's Mountain, can we? Time religion, give me. I believe you believe in the old time religion. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father.
Time religion, give me that old.
This is the old time religion, that you visit the widows and the orphans and your their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. That's the old time religion. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive it, saith the Lord. Come on down and worship with us, can you? When the saints go marching in, I'd like to be numbered with them, wouldn't you?
Makes me love.
Hallelujah. I saw a vision not too long ago where the saints was all coming together. Oh, what a glorious time.
Give me that
old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough. I've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Got that time religion. Oh, it's, sing it with me now. You better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion, cause it's good enough. Sing it with me now. I've got that old. While we're singing,
that old time,
I'd like for our ministers to come up here. Can I get my minister friends to come up here? You that are in the ministry that love the Lord, would you come up here while we're singing? Just step out and come up here with me, you that are ministers. Old time religion, and it's good. Just step out and come up here if you're a minister.
That old
time religion, got that old time religion, got. Can you step out and come up here with me if you're ministers? Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. And it's singing with me now. So give me that old-time religion.
Give me that
old-time religion. Old-time religion, cause it's good. Once again. Got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. And it's good enough. And it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven, cause it's good enough. You better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Cause it's good enough. Oh, give me that old. While they're singing this,
give me that old.
If you want to be prayed for, I want you to come up here. Just kind of come up from this end, and we'll pray for you. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion, give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough. So give me that old. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight.
Give me that old.
I believe God will heal tonight. If you'll have faith in God, I believe as we pray, God will heal. Give me that old time religion. I remember a service we had in Macon, Georgia, and God got to moving and the people got to streaming through. And I'll tell you, you're talking about a service, but them people poured through for about an hour or more, and I'm telling you, we had a service. And I remember in India, when they got to pouring through, there were so many people that the platform broke down as they poured through and we prayed for the sick. Old time religion, and it's good enough. So give me that old time religion. Give me that. Oh, let's pray for them, John. Old time religion, and it's good. Let my minister friends come and pray with me. Old time religion. You all pray with me and believe with me. You all pray with me and believe with me. If you need healing tonight,
If you'll come in faith, the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven. And I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel faith already. I feel things moving already. If you can come up tonight, I believe God will do something for you. Religion, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's good enough. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Want that old-time religion. Good enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? I feel like God will heal tonight. If you want to be healed, if you're not sick, that's fine. You know, if you're not sick, well, that's fine. But if you want to be healed tonight, I believe God will heal you if you'll come up believing. Remember, Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And tonight you're the master. You're God's body tonight. You're the master over the devil. And he doesn't have any power over you whatsoever unless you just let him have it. And folks, I don't feel like letting him have it. Do you? I said, I don't feel like letting him have it. I don't feel like letting him beat on me. And I don't feel like letting him have my blessings and take my loved ones. I don't feel like that. Glory to God, I feel like resisting the devil. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll run from you. He's afraid of you. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Cause I've got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. And sing it a minute. You better get the old-time religion. Better get the old-time time religion, better get the old time religion, cause it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough. I've got that old time, I feel faith, don't you? Time religion, give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough for me. Just lift your hands up. Old-time religion. Somebody say hallelujah.
Old-time religion.
Lift up your hands and praise the Lord, folks.
Give me that old
hallelujah.
Time religion. Give me that old-time religion.
Give me that old-time religion, cause it's good enough. And it was good for mama and daddy. It was good for my mother and father. It was good for my mother and father. And it's good enough. Got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. It was good for my brother and my sister, it was good for my brother and my sister, it was good for my brother and my sister, and it's good enough. So give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, cause it's good enough. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We're supposed to be praising the Lord tonight, folks. God is a spirit, inhabits the praise of his people. He wants you to praise him tonight, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. That's what God wants you to do, is love him. Love him with all of your heart. Let's sing this. How faith in God. Can you sing that with me? How faith in God. How faith in God for deliverance, how faith in God. Can you sing with me? Let's have faith in God. Let's have faith in God. Have faith in God for your healing. Have faith in
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to long on mega fast, just remember in God's word how he fed the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me. Leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Tonight, if you can lift up your hands here in the audience, if you can call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said, decree a thing in your heart and it will come to pass. Whatever you say, you can have it if you believe in your heart and doubt not. And tonight, if you can believe in God, if you can ask of God tonight, you can go home with a healing. You can go home with a deliverance. The oppressing spirits will be gone. He sent his word and healed them. And with his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And people all over the world are receiving deliverance by believing in the Word of God and by hearing the preaching of the Word of God. By faith, God is delivering everywhere. And the saints of God are beginning to realize that they have power over the enemy and that Satan's power is destroyed and gone. And by faith that they are the victorians and that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in the Word or your faith in God or your faith in the promise of His deliverance. So then if you can believe tonight, you can have whatever you ask for. When I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves all cover me and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, then I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. Sing it with me now. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, friend, down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go when you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. It'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after
while.
Let's sing it together now.
You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow friend down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go when you'll lay down your heavy load.
Sing it one more time together.
You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow friend down here. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Somebody say hallelujah. I feel God's blessing tonight. Don't you feel God's blessings tonight?
Man, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. And I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, for this is the day that the Lord hath made. The day of the Lord. For this is the day, this is the day that my Lord hath made. My Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day the Lord hath made. For everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Be gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. So let us praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him, oh let us praise Him when the sun goes down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, oh heaven. Come down, oh, heaven, come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Oh, heaven has come down on me. So let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime, love Him. Let us love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noon time I want to praise. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Well, I think I'll testify while I have a chance. Think I'll testify while I have a chance.
I think I'll testify
while I have a chance, for I may not have the strength. So let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning and love Him at the noon. Love Him, love Him, love Him when the sun goes down. For sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, heaven's come down, oh heaven. Come down for some time. I feel like heaven's come down. Oh, heaven, come down on me. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home.
Swing low,
sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands up to God. And I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes now? And I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all people. Brother Pasden, would you come up and dismiss us? Washed away.